Into the Night continues now.
That's what I like to hear.
Here's Tony Bruno and Harry Mays.
We bring on a man right now, ladies and gentlemen, who has to be excited. I mean, he's been locked down just like we have. We've been locked down. He's sheltered in place over in New Jersey in his apartment, waiting for baseball. And John and I go, I remember when we were working at ESPN, and John was had to stop doing baseball during the strike year.
All right.
And he came up and did baseball with us in the studio at ESPN Weekend Radio. Now he's got to be excited again. Baseball's coming back. John, how are you?
I'm fine. You know what? I really wonder, Tony, if you would remember that when we were together on the air, it was 1994.
Yep.
When they had that stupid strike that didn't settle anything. And I can recall Michael Kay saying to me, you know, we're not getting paid, and we didn't have a vote. So now I've been reading, and I'm not an internet kind of guy anyway. So why don't you tell me what's happened? Why do you think baseball is coming back?
Well, we have the story. We just mentioned it. Obviously, John Heyman and all the other guys.
Ken Rosenthal.
Yeah. You know, the real writers who follow this. There's a statement that's been released by Rob Manfred today, John, and that this is all breaking today. Rob Manfred issued a statement that he had met with Tony Clark in Phoenix, Arizona, face-to-face, and they have agreed in principle that they're working on a plan to get this thing done. And now the sources are saying that it could be 60 games. Jason Stark, the brilliant baseball writer for The Athletic, said 66 would make mathematical sense because Harry Mays, my partner here, broke it down. Explain, Harry, why 66 games is the right number.
Yeah, Jason has it in here. 12 games each versus four division opponents. All right, so that's 48. 3 games each versus 4 interleague opponents, so that's 12, that's 60 games, and then 6 games home and home versus interleague rival.
So there you have it. So 66 seems like, you know, we had all those numbers, John, you know, 113. No, let's make it 79. Let's make it 83. Let's make it 50. Let's make it 48. Then it now looks like it's going to happen. So I want to get your first reaction because yesterday we thought it was done, dead done, and now it looks like it's going to happen. So cooler heads are prevailing. Only thing they have to work out now is the specifics. You know, when guys report for camp, where do they go? Do they go to their home ballparks? Do they go back to Florida? What's your reaction to the fact that it looks like baseball is going to be played this summer?
Well, I'm really not surprised. You know, no one ever makes in labor negotiations. They don't make their best offer to the last moment. So, you know, the owners, you know, wanted fewer games, so they obviously paid less money. But they wanted the playoffs because that's when the big TV money kicks in. And I think the playoffs really could be exciting. I mean, we have all been under house arrest for so long, and that would really be exciting. So, you know, you ask me, how do I feel? I feel great. I'm hoping it's true. And it sounds, if they've gone as far as figuring how many games you play against your division rivals and how many interleague, it's anyway, it works out, and you know, you guys have given me great news. Thank you.
Well, that's why we're here, John, and we wanted to make sure you were here just when it broke so you can finally get out of your apartment over there in North Jersey and go out again.
Have you been able to get a haircut, John?
Yes. I've been able to go to my stylist and her apartment to get my hair done, just the two of us, with masks.
Nice.
And you know, this is, as you guys know, doing the show, this is the oddest year of our lives, and hopefully it'll be the oddest year of our lives, and it will be great to get out and start to work again.
So now we don't know how it's going to work, but it seems that based on prior conversations that they're not going to go to a bubble in Arizona or Florida, based on what we know, that they're going to play in their own stadiums. So if the Yankees play at Yankee Stadium, then you'll be able, because I read an article where you were talking about you and Susan Waldman would probably be in a booth, but with a glass partition between the two of you, right?
Yeah, that's what we're working on. The home games, we definitely will be at the stadium, and there are booths on either side of us with glass between so we can see each other so know when we're going to go on the air, and it's open, so that's a better health or safety. And I don't know yet about the away games. We might be doing the games off a monitor in a booth up at Yes in Stamford. It's certainly will be odd, but can't be anything more odd than this year. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, speaking of odd, I mean, imagine an empty Yankee Stadium with no fans for games, you know, 12 games, six of them to be at home against the Red Sox.
Well, what could be more odd than having to stay home all the time?
That's true.
I mean, I tell all my friends this and family, we have conquered house arrest, and we now we know we can do that. So, for a few months, I guess they'll begin in mid-July, and they'll try to finish the schedule up by the end of September, and then the playoffs. So for a few months, you know, you can do it. Will it be tough with no crowd? Yeah, I guess. Mm-hmm. Will it be tough working off a monitor? It really would be tough if the camera loses the ball.
Right.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm not one to be worried about things. I can open up, as Tony, you know, I can open my big fat mouth and talk. So, you know, so what's the Mickey Mouse? You know, it's we'll do it. We'll get through it. It's very important they play. They can't afford to go all the way until next March to begin spring training without playing any games. Mm-hmm. And as I said, actually, because people are waiting for something live to come on, the playoffs, I think, could be extraordinary. In other words, extraordinary means the games will be great, of course, but they'll get very good ratings, and that will lead me to more contracts like the one they just signed with TBS. I do want to say one thing. Some of the things you read are so unbelievable. Now, the owner of the Cardinals, Bill DeWitt, mm-hmm. Yeah. He said, you know, it's, you know, baseball, you know, it's not very profitable. He bought his franchise for $150 million in 1995. And now Forbes says it's worth $2.25 billion. So I wish my stocks would go up like that.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about this yesterday. There was a report that there were eight owners who didn't want baseball to be played. And somebody brought up St. Louis, and I'm like, why not? St. Louis is supposed to be the mecca of baseball with the history and stuff there. So we didn't include St. Louis, but the Mets, obviously, because of their mess. You know, teams like Miami, maybe.
The A's,
you know, troubled franchises without
Pirates.
Really good television contracts, the Pittsburgh organization. Are you surprised that there were eight teams willing to just say, let's not play?
Yes, I am, but I don't know if I believe it. And you're right about St. Louis. St. Louis is a great franchise. You know, the Dodgers will lead the National League in attendance, but number two is St. Louis. Their attendance is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, that's you talk about a baseball city. You know, that's a baseball city. So, you know, there's a lot been written and a lot been said, and you don't know if it's true or not. Are there eight teams? I guess there could be. And I don't. You know, a thing about me that's not good. I don't know anything about business. I don't care anything about business. No, I make enough to support myself, and I now have three kids in college. This past year, I've had four in college, and I love what I do. I'm very lucky to do it, and I'm hopeful you're right, and I'm hopeful we get it back.
The great John Sterling, Hall of Famer. Long time Yank born. See, I didn't know you were born in Philly, but I know you were born on the 4th of July, and you got a birthday coming up, John. You and George Steinbrenner are 4th of July babies.
Yeah. George and myself, and the owner of the Orioles, I think, also is born on July 4th. So, anyway, we'll have baseball. No, we won't have baseball by July 4th.
No.
But after it, shortly after it.
It's looking like July 19th is the target date that they're saying right now, so.
Well, let's see. Let's say that's true. So they're, let's say, 11 days.
It's 32
then they would
days.
Have in July, and then August and September, that's 60 days. So
right.
They can get 66 games in easily. And it wouldn't be a bad idea to play doubleheaders every now and then, mm-hmm. Straight doubleheaders, not that split doubleheader. They won't have to have a split doubleheader because there'd be no one in the joint.
That's exactly. Right.
So, yeah.
You know, it's interesting, John, when you talk about that, because it's going to be crazy to see it, but people will watch, you know, they'll listen to you on the radio, they'll watch it on TV, and that's what we've all been waiting for. You know, we hope there's going to be football in the fall. We're already seeing sports all over the world come back. We're seeing soccer over, you know, in Europe, all over the place. We're seeing golf tournaments every weekend. And so baseball, you know, a lot of people were getting angry and saying, I'm not going to watch it. You remember in 94, we're sitting in there.
Right.
Here you are doing, you got your season is shut down. And then we called, well, I didn't call, but the folks at ESPN said, let's just get John Sterling up here to Connecticut. It's not that far. Get him in the studio. We'll spend 7 hours talking with John Sterling every weekend. And that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I had a great time. I enjoyed it. It would have been more fun. The Yankees had a six-game lead, by the way, in 94. And Montreal had the best record in the majors. So who knows what would have happened. But they can't afford. Now, one thing, you know, people said, Tony, you remember this about, well, I'll never watch baseball again.
Yep.
And what did baseball do? It moved up to an $11 billion business. So it's never been healthier, and they would have been nuts to call everything off just fighting for more. So now I guess we'll have, you know, a quasi-regular season. The playoffs should be great, and it should give baseball what they need. One thing, though, you guys haven't talked about, and that is the health concerns. How do you do it?
Yeah.
You know, a buddy of mine, Marty Appel, who you know, he's ex-Yankee PR and written a lot of baseball books. And he said to me, when the guy leads off first base, does he have to be 6 feet away? Get picked off every time. And so showering and sitting together in the dugout, I mean, there are a lot of questions. How they're going to handle, I don't know, but there are a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions. I just don't have any answers, that's all.
But the interesting thing, that, John, on that regard, is that if you could see rugby is being played over in New Zealand, and you can't get any more close than rugby guys in scrums, and now you're seeing, you know, golf, obviously there's good social distancing. So there's some sports that are – tennis, they're going to play two major tournaments up there at Flushing.
Well, tennis is easy.
Yeah, but except for doubles.
You don't have to be – Well, not doubles, right, but singles. But the other sports, you know, in basketball, aren't you supposed to guard your man?
Yes.
You're supposed to be really close to him. And in hockey, aren't you supposed to pick up your check? So, but anyway, that's for them to work out, and I'm just happy. I'm glad that you asked me to do your show. Now I found out we're going to have baseball.
Yes. Well, you know, we're glad because, you know, John, I got hired for this job. When the pandemic struck, so everybody's getting fired, and there's no sports, and they said, let's put Bruno back on the air on Sirius XM when there's no sports to talk about. Because as you know, you and I and guys who've been around for a while, you know, we could talk about anything, but we're talking sports-related stuff primarily.
Yeah. Well, I know this. With a pandemic or no, I would hire Tony Bruno right away, so there you are.
I would need a John Sterling call, though. I mean, I know we love the text messages from Mark to Sharon and your legendary calls, though. Of all the ones you've done, John, and obviously, you know, I love the text message from Mark to Sharon.
But we do the back-to-back and belly-to-belly sometimes.
Exactly
too.
Right. Yeah. Is there one that is your favorite? Obviously, everybody, it is high, it is far. That's a signature call. But of all the calls that you've made, is there one that's your favorite?
Well, I don't – you know, I don't really have a favorite that I don't sit alone here in my beautiful apartment in Edgewater and do my home run calls. But I'd say the one that probably received the most notice or acclaim is for Alex. You know, an A-bomb from A-Rod.
Yeah.
And we had Alex on. Susan and I did a show, a half-hour show before the replaying of Yankee games. And Alex was on one night as a guest, and we played the home run call, his first at bat in 2009. He had had a hip operation, and so his first game was like in May or June, and two guys were on base, and Jeremy Guthrie was the pitcher, and on his first pitch, A-Rod had a three-run home run, the first pitch he saw on the year. And so they played it back at the station. They played the home run call. Pretty good call because in left field in Camden Yards, the minute the ball is hit up in the air, it's got a chance. And it soared out. And so I did the home run call. They played the home run call. And A-Rod said, boy, it was so great hearing that again. So I guess that'll be the one. That and Robbie Cano, don't you know?
Oh, yes, of course.
That's good. Bernie goes boom.
Oh, yeah, love Bernie goes boom. I mean, it's a – now, There's got to be a John Sterling book on your career, or a movie at least. Who would play you in the John Sterling story movie, John?
Oh, I wish they could go back and get Cary Grant. I think he would be right.
No, he just got canceled with Gone with the Wind. They won't be able to use him because he was affiliated with Gone with the Wind and all that other stuff that's going on out there.
Well, if I really wrote a book, I don't think I'd work again, so I think I'll wait a little while before doing that.
So coming up on 82 in a couple of weeks, right?
82, yes.
Now, I mentioned earlier to Harry that, you know, before you were the Yankee guy, and you've been the Yankee guy for 30 years, you were down in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, I spent the 80s in Atlanta with the Hawks and the Braves, and it's a great city, and I had a wonderful time. And I got the Yankee job, which you never expect, and this is going to be my 32nd year.
Wow. Unbelievable. And as I mentioned already, in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Awesome. Now, have you gone there and seen, well, you obviously went there, but when you go to the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown and you see you in the wing there with Jason Stark, who just went in recently, and all the other great broadcasters in that wing, how does that make you feel as a guy who's done this for so long?
Well, I don't want to correct you, but I have to. Although I am a member of several Hall of Fames, I'm not in the Baseball Hall of Fame at this point.
I thought you got the Ford Frick Award, which is part of the Hall of Fame.
No, I got the Governor's Award at the Emmys, but I didn't get I haven't gotten the Ford Frick Award yet.
Wow, I thought I saw that. That's my error. How did you not get the Ford Frick Award?
That's what Jason has.
I know that. That's for writers.
I don't know, and I don't think there's, because of style, I don't think there's a great chance. But anyway,
you think they care about? I mean, seriously, with all the people in the Hall of Fame for broadcasters, I mean, Harry Callis, of course, the great former Philly broadcaster, is in there, and I just can't believe that John Sterling is not going to be in there in the near future. I mean, you have a Hall of Fame career, John.
Well, thank you, but if I get in, please give me a call, okay?
I'll be the first. Well, you'll be the first to know when
they
get
present him.
Okay. I'll present you out there. And we'll bring Gardy and all the other great. We'll get Bernie to play guitar at the Hall of Fame. How about that? Flamenco guitar for you, John.
I would love it. Oh, Bernie, I would love it. He would do it for me too. You know, he's a buddy. He's a buddy. So, well, thank you. Thank you for the news, and thank you for being on the show. And when the season gets underway, give me a call.
All right, I got one last thing. I got to play this one last thing for you because it's one of my favorite moments in Yankee history. You and Susan Wallman doing the game, and then Roger Clemens was in George Steinbrenner's box, and she said,
"Goodness gracious!"
Now you remember that vividly as well, too, John.
I sure do.
Thanks, John.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Good luck, and baseball will be back, and we're happy for you and all the Yankee fans. Thank you, John.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. Let's give him a roaring round of applause. John thanked us for being on.
I know.
Listen, if he's not in the Hall of Fame.
No, I know. Like,
if he's not in the broadcaster's wing.
I'm shocked.
They should go loot and burn down the Hall of Fame like they did the College Football Hall of Fame. Remember that? They looted that thing
in Atlanta.
Friday night when they went in there.
So sad.
So what happens? Because that's an interesting story, because people stole artifacts from the College Football Hall of Fame.
You can't.
Yeah.
Do they put replicas in there?
I don't know. But I was in there. Did you go? You didn't go with me. I went in on a little tour 2 years ago, and we were doing the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we were in there, but we didn't get a chance to go over because we were working like 20 hours a day doing our own thing on Twitch. But no, the Hall of Fame baseball, now the College Football Hall of Fame, right there, right next to everything in downtown Atlanta.
And we saw tons of pictures. I saw a preview video of what we would be able to have seen if we'd had time to go down there.
It's cool. It's worth seeing if you're down there.
But,
well, not
but
anymore.
Now,
there's nothing to see in there. You want to see a looted out rubble,
all
you go down there and check it out.
All these amazing things that were taken out of there, old helmets and jackets and football.
How are you going to sell like a leather helmet on eBay?
Right.
Hey, I got a leather helmet from the Four Horsemen. They left one in there. There's only three horsemen left now, though, but I'll take the fourth one. You got to collect the entire set, though, Harry, or it doesn't count.
That's true. Yeah, he's got to get the Ford C. Frick Award at some point.
Absolutely
right. Bob Uecker got it.
I know.
He got it the year after Harry Callis won it.
No, they're all great broadcasters.
Yeah. Costas, who will be on Friday.
We'll have Bob Costas on.
Yeah.
Not Bernie from Broomall. He's not in the Hall of Fame.
No.
who's not even from Broomall, actually. He's from South Philly. Did you know that, Harry?
Yes, I did.
All right, that's good knowledge right there. Stick around. Much more. Open lines. You want to call in? 215-462-TONY. 215-462-8669. Whether it's the NBA plan. You have any ideas on what the NBA also needs to add to their 113-page list of do's and don't do's and honey do's? Honey do this, baby.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm talking about.
Exactly right. We're coming right back. Stick around.